Verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Wow. How can you get a name before you're conceived? Did God know you before you were conceived?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Before I was in my mother's womb, he knew you and me. Some of us might wonder about the names we got. I suppose that's where our parents kicked in. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he would see the Lord's Christ. Be seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit that day, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of the people, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be the sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Wow. Blesses him, and then, oh yes, by the way, it's going to be a rough travel in the midst of everything else. How did he know it was Jesus the Messiah? Don't all babies look alike? They do. Come on. All babies look alike. How in the world did he know this was Jesus? And he goes so far as to say, in so many words, I can go now. No, you can't go yet, Simeon. You had so many things planned in your life. You were going to do so many things. You have so many things going on. You can't leave now. So the statement we make today, which I know you agree with, is if you ever really do get in the presence of the living Son of God, there's nothing more. Amen? There's nothing greater. There's not, but I have this plan, like, there's nothing beyond. Even in baby form, Simeon says, that's it. Pastor Joe, I've had it. I don't need anything else. How in the world did he recognize Jesus? Well, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he was moved that day, to church, 3 miles north of Belt. I probably didn't say that. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. I don't appreciate this. I'm not sure who wrote this book. The older you get, 84 doesn't seem that old at all. That's not very old, that's old. That is not very old. I know the Lord wrote this, so I'll be careful here. But she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. She lived for 7 years with the marriage, and then the Bible says that she was a widow. until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Tell me, what kind of life is that? One day a week to come to church is not that bad. I know you go to youth group. I guess youth group came to you even. I mean, we're even doing that. It comes to you. Every day, living in the temple, and we shall pray, God surrounds your sister. Every time you call me, there's something wrong, isn't there? I was so happy when my dad was in his final stages. He was 89. And I told him, Dad, you're very old. My dad didn't have any desire. He'd hunted and fished until he couldn't stand it. He was ready to go. What should I do? Watch the Seahawks go down the tube again? Check out my Facebook? Oh, my dad didn't know a Facebook from a fastball. He didn't. But we pray that God be with her. Yes. Anyway, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. But the concept that this woman stayed in, how, and I know different, we have different callings, and it's a mistake to suggest that we're all the same. We're not. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as our spirits are open, if we open our spirits to the Lord God, he will satisfy. We used to sing in Psalm number 8, he saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Disgusted enough to people talk. This wonderful friend of mine. What's it go, Harry? Someday I'll see him in the skies or something like that. She had been there a long time. I doubt she would take Simeon's word for it. She marched right over and said, this is the child. This is the child. And she professed marvelous statements about Jesus, even though all babies look alike. Pastor Joe said, Brother Glenn spoke about hearing the voice of God in our midst, in between us as we talk and share. This woman recognized Jesus when she saw him. Simeon recognized Jesus when he saw him. And the satisfaction was enough for Simeon to say, take me. I have had enough. I don't know what happened to Anna. She's probably still there. I don't know. The simple message today is where it says, if you'll draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. If you'll seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. How much of Jesus do you think you find with half a heart? Or a quarter heart? Or a little bit of heart? Or 1/7 of a heart? That's what Sunday is, right? I was thinking this morning about the last 20 years of my, when I didn't set many church attendance records out in Seattle. Occasionally I prayed for the Seahawks, but that was it. Found out that didn't work. Yeah, because I love church. So you have to pray at church in order for it to go. Thank you for sharing. We, whether we're called a minister, a pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, elder, leader, whatever. In our lives, there is nothing that shall ever compare to finding being in the presence of Christ. Right? And yet so many, so much of our experience has been unexciting, unsatisfying, non-moving, non-life-changing, and religious. If we could be in the presence of Jesus by simply being religious, we'd have it covered. But we cannot. This is early in the church, and we do have a meeting early in the church season, the season that I call it, you know. Just happens to run simultaneous with football season. I don't have a football team winning anywhere. Anywhere. Can you believe Nebraska got beat by Troy? Troy! Iowa didn't do so good. But just a game, amen? That's what I tell myself. Seahawks are miserable. Thank you. What'd you put in there? Early in the church season, we have a meeting this afternoon in a few minutes, won't be long. We have bylaws and we have rules, but we are an organism of the Holy Spirit. We're not a business. And so we don't have to fiddle around like businesses do. We will get to it and get on our way. And really, things right now in our fellowship are pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But I want to share these few thoughts and then sit down. I did, speaking of babies, I did fly recently to California in 4 jets, and every one of the jets was a small jet, and I was in the back. Something came back there and got me. My throat. I don't know what it was. In the desert, maybe it was in the desert, I don't know. But I'm battling through it. When it was greeting time, I went up there so none of you would greet me. And I've had them looking for a mask afterwards. So, you know, I see, it's not a bad idea. He's like, you know, sissies wearing no mask around like that. I just assume you not get whatever came my way. So I don't know if you know where any masks are at. Anybody, we've searched this place. Maybe we'll just put masking tape over everything. Harvest, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, 2019 is just a breath and a blink away. I made that up myself, and that's pretty good. It's that close. I have no season moves as fast as the fall to me. I'm not sure why that is. One minute we're talking this, next minute it's Christmas, we're on our way, trying to figure out what to do on New Year's Eve. I've been here at the fellowship a year and about a month, been quite a year, if I don't say so myself. After 35 years, this fellowship, one that you're in and a part of, we find it's time to sharpen our ministry focus. It's time to touch up our facility and welcome in a new generation. The seasons are changing. We are a fellowship of relationship, not religion. We share the amazing grace of God while shielding our family, us, from the crushing devastation of legalism. Letter of the law does what? Oh, effectively, the letter of the law kills. The spirit of the law gives life. We are not religious. We are not legalistic. Because of Calvary. It's been done for us. Completely. You cannot add to the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's tree. You can accept it or reject it, but you can't add to it with a song and dance. It does not happen. We come to this facility to hear about the living God, to worship and to experience the living God. We anticipate a heavenly experience on Sunday, which is what we have today. Thank you for the worship, Renee, and those of you that were singing your heads off. We anticipate a heavenly experience here in our fellowship. We do not anticipate a hysterical one. much is going on in the body of Christ that is not of the Spirit. But because some people tell you it's of the Spirit, well, they can't. Who can disagree with a preacher? Who can disagree with a prophet? Okay, who can? You can. You can. If it's not in the Word of God, you can, you should, and you must disagree. We have in us the Spirit of the living God as believers. He will lead you and I into all truth. And our worship is to be heavenly, but not hysterical. The spirit of the prophet, the Bible says, is subject to what? The prophet. We control our actions and our attitudes and our behaviors. You all know by now I've come from deep in the trenches of what used to be called roller-ism. Everything you can imagine, I was raised in. Then I got sophisticated and went to a particular denomination, Pentecostal. But are we on TV? Or am I on?
Yes.
A nice denomination, particularly. Educated me, but sophisticated. And they weren't hysterical either. There is, and this isn't the intent of the sharing, but I'm kind of making a State of the Union address here. That's what I was trying to figure out. What am I doing? That's what I'm doing. There is a movement across the world and in America to stir in just a little bit of humanism, a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of a lot of isms, trying to improve on what was brought to you and I on Calvary's tree. And each drop that is not biblical, does not strengthen our faith or our walk in Christ, it diminishes it. There's a great desire in people to see a miracle, to know a miracle, to witness one, to be a miracle, to see the supernatural. I've wanted that my whole life. Prove yourself, God, for crying out loud. Let's get on with this right on the wall. If you did that, you know what would happen? I would pass out. Probably never be heard from again. We walk by faith.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to. Well, that's the economy of God. Well, you say there aren't miracles. I am a miracle. I've experienced many miracles, and so have you. But a miracle for a miracle's sake, supernaturalness for supernatural sake, invites demonic presence that is destructive beyond measure. We come anticipating the rich presence of the Lord. And we're grateful that that's what we receive. In the entire experience of mankind, there truly is no experience, no satisfaction like being in the magnified presence of the Lord. If that's so, then why are most churches so bored? And why are most Christians so bored at church? Well, aha! Back to the stud finder. The stud finder. Okay, that's what this is. That's what's in those walls. We have to find, I'm afraid of that speaker, we have to find the strength in that wall. We have to search for it. We hang our life, our experience, our joy, our direction on finding the strength. And when we settle for religion, and when we settle for nonsense, and when we do not experience the rich presence of the living God, which most of us have at one time in our life or another have had, when we settle for a lukewarm experience that is neither hot nor cold, And it's all we can do to drag people to church. It's all we can do to keep from bolting out the door before we're done. Because it's not the rich presence of Jesus. It's religion. It's church. It's a waste. So, when we worship the Lord, we sing and we praise. We praise. Patrick and I were talking over a pretty good cup of coffee a couple days ago. Can you hear me, Pat? Earth to Pat. Pat's ears are just one notch worse than mine. So we're like into sign language, Pat. Pat was telling me about a Bible study he has in his home, and the subject of praise came up. And we may have to edit this real. Check with me, would you please? And I forget. I'm going to edit all these things, and I forget to do it. How it goes. And they were talking about, do you lift hands in your church, your fellowship? That right, Pat? Can you hear me? Yeah. They weren't too excited about lifting hands in church, were they?
I'm sorry?
I said they weren't too excited about lifting hands in church.
I told them about it. They're going to have to complain to Timothy.
Then you said they're going to have to complain to Timothy. And then you told them about what they do at the football games, right? You said you don't seem to have too much problem with doing this at the football games or getting excited, but not in church.
I told them I got naked and ran to pray before the Lord naked, then they could bring me in.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that. I remembered that part. I was going to skip over that, but what Pat told them, because they just don't think that praising the Lord is for them. And I understand that. The deal is, though, it's in Scripture. Amen? It's in Scripture. Pat was telling him when he's dancing down the street naked like David, then they could rein him in. That's what he said. Oh, Pat, that probably won't happen. But all he's doing is declaring the Word of God. Is it so? So when we gather together, we don't just do religiously say, Renee, play us a few songs. We sing a few songs. Okay, check. Offering, check. Boring sermon, check. Cookies afterwards, double check. Why do we sing? Why do we praise? Even the acts of raising our hand. Now, you can raise your hand all you want. Martin Luther crawled up these steps on his knees trying to appease God. No, but it's the act of worship in genuine spirit. The Lord is magnified, and when He is magnified, His presence is magnified in our midst, and all kinds of good things happen when the presence of the Lord is here.
Yes, amen.
Wholeheartedly, not crazily, fanatically bouncing on that wall, that's nice, but that doesn't do it. Just sit there and praise the Lord. Stand there and praise the Lord in your spirit. And if you can risk it, go. Close your eyes. No one will ever see you. And you play games like that. If you close your eyes, they can't find you. I thought that's what hide and seek was all about. That's not true. You can close your eyes all you want. They still see you. The Bible says, clap your hands. No, not me. I have the greatest respect for the Methodist Church. I think I was baptized by my mother in about every church known. She thought I had issues. I mean, I keep, every time I talk to her, there's another church. I said, how many times did you have your dead being baptized? She said, she was covering every base. She was a new Christian. I have the greatest respect for the Methodist Church, greatest respect for the Catholic Church, but we're neither of those. We are other than. And they walk in their own understanding and we walk in ours. Amen? We bless them in the name of the Lord. There's nothing to gain by going after anybody. Here we are. Let us follow the light that God has given us. Let's walk in our own understanding. And if we believe that worshiping the Lord magnifies the Spirit, and in His magnified Spirit, that's where healing takes place, deliverance, anointing, revelation. in the magnified spirit, Lord. Well, that's why we sing. That's why we worship. We don't do it to fill up a card. We do it because we need to see this Jesus, who is no longer a baby. He's the risen Lord. We need to have him in our midst. I don't care if nobody preaches, if everybody sits, if we don't do it this way, if we turn the whole church around and look that way, it doesn't matter. We're not into religion. We get no points for being religious. None. We are thrilled that by receiving Jesus Christ, he is in us. Christ in me. What? The hope of glory. He's in us. We are not waiting, although I waited a long time for this flight that was going to take in the rapture. I don't have to wait for the rapture to be excited. I can be raptured in his spirit in this room, even on Sunday morning. We can. Where two or three of us are gathered in his name. This same Jesus says, there am I in the midst. And I must tell you, I'm very intent on representing a beautiful Lord. I know Pastor Joe is and the rest of our elders. A beautiful understanding of God. But I am not interested in being a part of something anywhere that doesn't have the magnified Spirit of God in its midst. I had many years of sitting on Sunday morning, getting up lazily, watching an old cowboy western, eventually getting to the football game, getting up, stretching, doing a few other things, coming back, eating, watching football, and going to bed. That life is out there for me. And that's where I go if Jesus isn't magnified and isn't released in our lives in a powerful and in a rich way. The strength of every Christian fellowship should be found in the body of that fellowship. That's us, everybody. Weekly fellowship was never designed to be a spectator sport. That's football. That's tennis. That's what? Shopping. That's what I think. I'll be out in the car. Let me know when you're done. It's not designed to be a spectator sport where we watch churches, where we watch the gifted leadership. We oo and awe at what they can do or what they can't do. Whew. I don't care how big the church is. Matters not. My eyes have been opened to this wonderful, no, it's not wonderful, I should have said that, to this developed thing called people management that is going on in churches now. I'm telling you what, if you hit the parking lot of some churches, seven people rush out with a donut, a cup of coffee, and a free pass to a steak dinner Monday night. What a deal. The back doors of churches are open these days, and I'm not trying to down anything. I'm just trying to say that you come in the back door and it's just like a social organization. Hey, they love me. They care for me. They know my name. Blah, 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 blah. Do they ever mention, you know, Jesus? Has that ever come up? No, but it's going to. What we're going to do, we're getting to that. And I understand that approach. But I'm telling you what, it's very easy to get people involved in a fellowship, hooked up, and never, never actually come to the point where you ask the question and you open the door for them to accept Jesus as their Savior. You got them, you got their money, better not rock the boat. The management of Christian people should alarm us all. The management of our very lives should alarm us. what is it, the gerbil that gets on the little machine and goes like this and goes around and around and around and around? What did he do before we gave him that thing? What was he doing? He was sitting like this all day. Somebody had said, I got to get him something. This guy is depressed. He got gerbil depression. Let's buy him a what is it called?
Wheel.
Thank you. Wheel of Fortune. That's what it is. Let's get him one. Just making a comment on the management of people in fellowships. Our manager is to be primarily the Holy Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Not to be molded, moved, manipulated by the ministry.
That's right.
That's right, John. That's right. We went through an era where, and it's still going on, and I'm not necessarily taking issue of it, but everything the preacher would say, he'd say, turn the one beside you and tell them, you better give more, and you better do this, you better. Well, it was reinforcement. You would say to this person, and you know who didn't like it? My dad. He said, I'm not doing another thing a preacher tells me to do in church. My dad was pretty straight. Let me just listen to God. Stand up and tell this person, yeah, I'm going to be blah, 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 blah. Well, I understand that. And you get to where you can't think for yourself. You have to only do what the preacher tells you to do. That's not God. That's management of people. I'm about done. I want to go back to the Wheel of Fortune. That was at our new chairman of the board, Gary Huffman's house. Would you? Thank you. He said, no, 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 but I knew what he was really saying was yes. You know what I'm saying? I knew he really meant yes. It just came out, no, 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 no. We're watching the video. He has these videos. And you know, those of you who have been coming, Gary's on the edge, you know what I'm saying? Not on the edge of truth. He's just on the edge. So you get to, and I'm watching several things over there. And I'm watching the, and I'm thinking about, there's a video about how the elite are filling our minds and our times up with stuff. Stuff. And that the elite, if they give us, I'm sure neither, none of you have a phone on you. Ooh, this is hot. If they give us the right stuff, we'll do what? We will spend our life. This is great. This is fun. There's no end to this. And what is this story? And what is this story? Oh my gosh. Last night, what did I get? My son come knock. You know what you just got? Somebody just swore at you. What was that?
They got hacked.
Somebody hacked, but they took it out on me, right?
No, I took it out on us all. They hacked through your sister.
Don't say what they said. I don't know these people that I'm friends with. You know, I mean, maybe I do. I don't know. But I am telling you, if it's not this, my dad used to think two channels in Great Falls was too much. They got two channels to choose from. Lawrence Welk or Paladin. Make up your mind. And today, we can sit. We don't even have to. Who was the remote when you were a kid? You were the remote. Get up there and change that. I don't like that. Get back there and change it. Go on, blah, blah, blah. Now what can happen? You can sit there with your iced tea that is not sweetened. And you can go round, around, 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 around. And you can go from one story, one situation, one thing to another, to another, to another. Oh, I make myself sick. I sound like preachers of the 50s and 60s that we used to say that when I was a kid. Is there anything wrong with what? For the most part, no. What is wrong is when our minds and our time is so filled up, we would seek out God if we could just do it quickly.
If we didn't have to sit like Anna and pray night and day and fast, we would find God. If we didn't have to be like Joshua, who when Moses took off to clean house, Bible says Moses stayed in the tent. We can't afford to miss the life around us. It's so exciting.
So, my family has more than our share of cable, but I don't understand any of it. You can't just turn off and on. You got that figured out on a button. You have to turn this on, then that, then this and that. But my oldest son, he's not too excited about TV, so we don't even have TV. A year and a, 2 or 3 months I've lived here without television programs. When I was out in Seattle, I worked during the day. I'd get home just in time to start the 5 o'clock Fox. And I would go down to every last one of them. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know that the Fox commentators repeat themselves, then later at night they go over it through it again? And again. And if that doesn't slow me down, they had these cowboy, even on YouTube now. I didn't know this. Are you excited about Gene Autry? Do you know who Gene Autry is? I'm excited about Gene Autry. Why? Because he puts me to sleep. It's a good deal. You know he's going to win. You know he's going to sing. You can go to YouTube and you can go through all the Roy Rogers, all the Gene Autry, all the Hopalong Cassidy. I'm in heaven. I have to watch that because that is it's crowding in on my. And we go and we're so excited. We're really going to town. When all the time the Spirit's not saying that's bad or good. He's saying, make room for me in your life. For real. For real. When I came here, I had a few issues. I still do. How many of you know this fellowship still has a few issues?
Yes.
Like children church workers. Plug.
I couldn't afford to watch TV, Pastor Harry. I had to think. Every preacher's got 2 good sermons in him, and after that, he's in trouble. So I gave him my best shots. Now what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, what can I talk about this week?
You ever been with speakers that have about a 5-minute sermon, and that's it? There we go. And that's all right if it's the Lord's will.
I couldn't afford to watch TV. I had to think. I have to be so bold to say I had to listen to God. Have you ever tried to listen to God and he won't hurry up?
God, you got 5 minutes to tell me what to do, where to go, what to say, and then you throw in Jesus' name. Because you know if you ask it in Jesus' name, he's got to do it.
How many of you know you can say that until hell freezes over, he doesn't got to do it because you say in Jesus' name.
That's the truth.
We think God can't see the difference of what we're doing? The spirit of what we're doing? We don't have time for him? Remember we left Joshua? He was getting... Here's Moses.
Oh, boy.
Here's Moses. 40 years wandering in the desert.
Moses dies within a couple days. God says, Joshua, it's time to cross the river. Why didn't he have it? Why didn't it happen with Moses? Poor Joshua has to hear, God, did you really say that? Joshua had been centered in the Lord a long time before that moment. And he heard. Can you imagine him just thinking, well, this sounds like a good idea. Let's cross the river at flood stage. Yeah. Let me ask you, Posey, where they come, I just won't stop. Have you never thought something was a good idea and you thought God told you to do it? Come on. And then as the more you think about it, and the more you think about it, and the more you kind of make room for the Lord, what was I thinking? Amen.
Christ calls this church, every church, every fellowship, to the tent. Come to the tent with me. Sit with me. Don't just ask me and tell me all your problems and how much you need money and a boyfriend and a girlfriend and a shrink. Let's just talk. Let's just relate. God, I would, but I don't have time. I'm a busy man. People depend on me. They depend on my wisdom and my knowledge and my strength. God, I would be with you, but I don't have time. Can I just write a check and get it over with? There is nothing in this world that compares to relationship with the Lord. Nothing. It all passes away. It all fades. It all gets old. It's all a trend. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, help us as we look at this forwarding time in our lives here at this fellowship. He spoke in my heart. He's asked this fellowship to be faithful and to be forceful. Oh my gosh, he's going to preach on that now. No, not yet. He's called us to be faithful and forceful. We don't have to be anything else. Psalms 16:11, I think, says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What on earth do we need beyond the presence? Now I see what Simeon was saying. I see the Lord. I'm out of here. My soul is satisfied. That poor little gerbil. He thinks he's going somewhere. He's just going around and around. One day he wakes up and his life is spent. He's gone around and around and around and around and around. But he's not got to where God wanted him to be. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Sing it with me.